I'm so out of my depth, you have no idea. But that's okay. Again, very, very honoured to be asked to be part of this congregation this morning. So thanks for having us. Oh man, where do I begin? Right, this is the sermon. John 15, the vine and the branches. I'm just going to just read a few verses, which I will then share from. So the theme is abiding in the Lord. I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm just going to stop there. If you haven't caught the theme already, it's abiding. Thank you, ESV version there. It's not mentioned in the NIV, as Kathy reminded me this morning. So I just want to share two things with you, and that is, abiding, being connected to the vine. One thing I'm very passionate about, I was and still am, is young adults ministry. And I'm not a young adult so much anymore, as I recently turned 30, but in my early 20s, I did lead a young adult ministry. And one thing I believe God put on my heart was that when you become a young adult, you're kind of stepping into your own. You're not so much under your parents' authority as much. You've got access to literally anything in the world. You've got the freedom to drive where you want to go if you're lucky enough to have a license. You start to go to university and get friends that are outside of church. And one thing I was very passionate about in my early 20s was being connected to the vine, staying part of the vine, the church community family. Because there are a lot of things out in the world that can pull you away. Just ask university students that grew up in church. And one thing I used to do with a small team of people was go into universities and just share the gospel, sit down and chat with some of the people who maybe didn't want to get involved in the party scene or be out drinking all night long. And where am I going with that? Hang on, let me look at my notes. Passionate about young adults experiencing Jesus and soaking in God's word and being staying connected to the vine, being involved in the Lord's community, being connected to a church, worshiping with other friends and family, praying together, serving not just in church but also outside of church, being involved in link groups. But I found not that long ago, your life doesn't really go to plan and things change, and perhaps being connected to the vine, I felt a little bit kind of lost in church and quite spiritually dry. And I was still connected to the vine, still involved in community and very happy on Sundays to be putting on the smiley face. But kind of once church was done, I just kind of sink back into work the next morning, and there I was, just kind of very spiritually dry. Kind of time would roll on, and I wanted to make a bit of a change to that. I didn't want to be spiritually dry. Even though I was still attending, and help facilitate worship, through my job doing audio, I felt like that God was outworking on the rest of the congregation, perhaps except for me. And I feel like having a hard heart back then stopped me from reaching out to others. And only a few years before that was I so passionate about helping lead a young adult ministry and encouraging them to have a soft heart and help their fellow friends wherever they are. I made some changes to my life. I quit my full-time job and kind of not long after... what did I do? I heard about Miracle Connect. That's what I did. Let's get this right. I heard about Miracle Connect through Kathy and Craig. They advertised it at church. And what drew me in was the audiovisual you would have seen there, the kind of production studio. That's what I do for work. And the night before that Craig and Kathy were speaking about that, I was just crying out to God at the top of the hill where I live, just asking for an opportunity, Lord, to kind of reignite faith in me, to not just be, part of the vine and be dead, a dead branch. And so Craig and Kathy, the next morning at church, was sharing about that. I saw the audio visual and it did captivate me. And I just talked more about it, about Miracle Connect. And they said there was an opportunity to be involved, help facilitate like a Zoom call to a community in Egypt and Algeria. So I got involved in that, very much up my alley, just helped facilitate that. And that was all wonderful. And then after that night, Craig and Kathy said, do you want to come along to Egypt? And I just said, yeah, why not? So I quit my full-time position, a job. And then, yeah, I went and got vaccinated and all that kind of stuff. And I suppose, yeah, helping me make that decision was I was just kind of desperate to make some changes in my life, to reignite faith again, to kind of soften my heart. I felt like I was carrying quite a hard heart. And even though I was being part of church and serving and doing all the facilitating in the background, that I know that I wasn't experiencing God perhaps like I used to, and I wasn't doing myself any favours. So what I'm not saying is you need to quit your job and go to Egypt and all that, but I just know in my heart that's what I wanted to do, and an opportunity came up. And I asked God for an opportunity to just really hit me in the face. And then I didn't overthink it. I just said, yep, I'm going, and we'll just see what happens. And I'm going to let go of the steering wheel, and God can be in control again. I don't know what the heck's going to happen. And so, yeah. Is that all making sense? I hope so. Because I've only got, I'm going to say that. I only wrote this recently. So the second thing I want to share is cutting off the vines that bear no fruit. And so I believe that when I went to Egypt and kind of took my hands off the wheel and let God lead me, that I prayed prayers I'd never prayed before. Being in that part of the world, I'd never prayed for the safety of my life before, never experienced that. I didn't know what it was like to not have the freedom to be walking around, you know, as a Christian, in a Christian environment. And very quickly, I had to kind of be told, you know, a few harsh realities about, you know, being a Christian in an Islamic nation. And yeah, like Pastor Bill was saying, Colin, sorry, I don't know where Bill came from. That's another pastor. they don't have the freedom as such like we do. And I'd never experienced that before. I had no idea what that was like. And that really knocked me off my high horse after that. So yeah, back to abiding in the vine. Yeah, I asked for an opportunity for the Lord to do a work in me and to cut off the vines that bear no fruit in me. And that definitely happened when I was in Egypt, that opportunity for me. So as far as the kind of that and, you know, asking God to lead me again and just to show me kind of a bit of a bird's eye view of life and purpose and things like that, I believe that God really led me to just meet people that were part of Miracle Connect, the locals there, and just hear their story, hear their testimony, and just let them kind of speak and pray over me. Lots of times, I remember we were just out randomly, and I remember one time after a conference, this random woman from Algeria just grabbed my hand, pulled me in, and prayed for me. I was like, oh, I don't know what's going on, but it's cool. It's okay, you know, and just random things like that happening, and I felt very blessed. And they had no idea kind of, you know, where I'd come from. It didn't really matter, but they just said, thanks for coming, want to bless you. And then I later hear about their testimony, just kind of their upbringing, where they've come from, and I think, oh my gosh, they prayed for me. It should be the other way around. And, you know, to be able to be blessed by someone like that was incredible. I don't really have too much more, to be very honest, but abiding in is the theme. Just want to conclude by saying that being connected to the vine, very passionate about young adults staying connected to the vine. And I know that, you know, as life just happens, there'll be all sorts of things that come your way. Just encourage you to stay committed to the community. And there'll be times where it feels like you are connected to the vine, but you might have branches that are withering, and that's okay. And, you know, God will prune and he will cut off the branches that don't bear fruit. And that's part of the faith journey that we're on. And I think over to Kathy now. Thank you for listening.
Yes, So abiding. Abiding, or more accurately, the word that is translated as abiding, was a favourite word of John's. Of the 40-ish times it appears in the New Testament, in the ESV version at least, all but two are in books written by John. So that got me thinking a little bit, like, oh, why is that? And this is a bit of Kathy musing, I suppose, but I just thought, well, John was the only disciple that lived to a ripe old age. Maybe because he was the one that had to journey in faith the longest and stay the course, he learnt to recognise the importance and be trained in abiding. So what does it mean to abide? I think life's like this picture. Who knows what's around the corner, and even if you'll get safely around? How do you approach a corner like this? You could do many things, but giving the steering wheel to someone who knows what's around the next bend and then trusting them seems like a good idea. This is what abiding means to me. When life seems a bit like a marathon, abiding is a skill we learn and a practice that sustains us. When we abide, we experience God's faithfulness. By abiding, we carry on to that place where we can see God's hand in a situation. Prayers that are answered with a yes, that's fantastic. But I've learned more about God's faithfulness when the answer has been no. I've been upset, confused, angry, and then with time, experienced that God's ways are higher than my ways, and I can rejoice in what he's done. Miracles happen sometimes, and sometimes they don't. Glorifying God in the troubles of life is part of our testimony to the world. As Christians, we will suffer the same things that are common to man. Abiding in Christ during these times is our testimony to those suffering without Christ that there is a better way. This is part of what it means to be a mature Christian. Abiding is a word for every day. Tough times, ordinary times, abundant times. In fact, having a lot can be every bit as threatening to faith as having barely enough. So wherever you are today, you can abide. In the really tough times, I like to think of abiding as holding fast or cleaving. Abiding is an active thing on our part. There is no need for John to tell us to abide if it's just something that would naturally happen. It's a choice we make, and using words like holding fast or cleaving reminds me that I need to actively hang on. One thing I'm sure of, God is always faithful. You'll see the goodness of God as you abide in him. I just want to finish with a story of one of our Miracle Connect follow-up workers. So this is a story of how of his abiding in Christ. I'm going to call him Bilal. That's not his real name. If you think that some parts of this story are a little bit familiar, you're right, because we have told some parts of this story here before, but there's a few new chapters to add to it. Bilal tried everything to get answers to the questions he had about Islam, including studying to become an imam. Not being satisfied with the answers, he got started looking into Christianity, which resulted in his conversion. When his family found out, they beat him and he ended up in hospital. His sister, afraid that he would be killed by the family, nursed him until he was well and gave him some money and sent him away to Cairo to hide from the family. She was killed by her family for doing that. Sometime later, he joined the Miracle Connect follow-up team, and Bilal's understanding and perspectives of an Islamic worldview have had a huge influence on how we share the gospel with people from a Muslim background. More recently, for many years, so this is getting to the part you may not have heard, I suppose. For many years, Bilal lived in hiding from his family, and then he just got sick of it. One day, he went back to his town and spoke to his brothers and said, "Here I am. If you want to kill me, just kill me." Long story short, the brothers are partially reconciled and no longer seek to kill him. Bilal heard that one of his sisters was terminally ill and was asking to see him. So he went to visit her. She told him that on the same night, she and her young son had both had identical dreams. In the dream, they had seen Bilal have his dirty clothes changed into clean white clothes. Bilal shared the gospel with his sister, but she was not ready to receive it. This is another sister, I suppose. Sorry, I should make that clear. So he went to visit her again when she was close to death. He arrived too late, but she had left a message for him. "Tell Bilal I have changed my clothes." Bilal's activities mean that he's had run-ins with the secret police. A few years ago, he was taken up by the secret police because he was seen leaving the church. He was interrogated several times and beaten quite severely on some occasions. When he was telling us about this, he said he could bear it because Jesus took him to another place while it was happening. About a year ago, he was called in again by the secret police, but this time the police officer wanted to meet him in a cafe. At that meeting, the police officer said, "What you have, I want." Today, Bilal is discipling this officer as he follows Jesus. Thanks very much for having us here today, and it's a real privilege to be able to share with you.